we've been studying the temple of the Holy Ghost, and we've talked about our minds and the spirit of man and the eyes in the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so today we're going to talk about the ear in the temple of the Holy Ghost, knowing that our bodies become the temple of the Holy Ghost when we get saved. We ought to know what the various aspects of the temple are and what they're to be used for. And so that's why we're studying that. And then, well, turn with me, if you will, then in your Bibles to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And today we're going to talk about our ears in the temple of the Holy Ghost. And what we've seen so far about the minds and our spirit and our eyes has been very helpful. Now we'll see about the ear. James chapter 1, look at verse 19. The Bible says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." That's where we're going to start. But before we go any further, let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord to guide us through the study this morning. Help us to understand exactly what we're reading here. Bobby, if you'll pray for us, please. Amen. Amen. Now the ear, as you might imagine, is a very important part of the temple of the Holy Ghost. And what you can see from this first verse that we're reading in James chapter 1 is that we need to use our ears much more than we need to use our mouths. We put a lot of emphasis on telling other people about the Lord and things like that, and indeed we'll talk about that some even this morning. But the truth of the matter is, you've got to have something to say, and in order to do that, you have to listen. Have you ever watched two people carrying on a conversation? And notice that one is like this while the other person is talking? You know what you get from that? What you get from that is a little instruction that when somebody else is talking, we're oftentimes thinking about what we're getting ready to say more than what they're saying. And so the response generally doesn't fit the comment that was made by the person, because you didn't really hear everything that the person had to say. You were listening more to yourself about what you're getting ready to say. And so that's why he says we need to be swift to hear and slow to speak. I have found oftentimes in conversations, if a person will listen very, very carefully to what the person is saying, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If you can hear the heart of what it is that they're saying, maybe they haven't. Have you ever said something and you said, "Well, I could have said it better if I said it this way"? Of course, we say it, we're like that all the time. So if you could hear the heart behind the words that are being spoken, then you could reply to the heart if it were necessary to reply. And, you know, it would just be a tremendous communication, but oftentimes it's not like that. You hear the words, and you hear what those words are saying to you, and there's a reaction to those things. So we need to be very swift to hear and slow to speak, and then slow to wrath. That's good for us that are in marriages, because oftentimes our conversations get heated. Nobody's saying anything, so it doesn't pertain to this crowd. Now, when we use our ears to listen to the words of God, we have to be sure that we don't just let the words go in one ear and out the other ear, so that we say, "Oh, that was good, I heard that," or whatever. Those words, when they come from the Lord, should go in the ear and down into the heart. Turn to Luke chapter 9, verse 44. Luke chapter 9, verse 44. In Luke chapter 9, verse 43, which is the context, they were all amazed at the mighty power of God, but while they wondered everyone at all things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, "Watch it, let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men." The idea being that it'll lodge in there and stay with us. And have an effect. You know, growth in Christianity is slow. And you know that because it's just like the growth of your children. You don't notice from day to day, or if it's been a while ago since that happened, you didn't notice from day to day so much the change in your children. But if you hadn't seen somebody in a couple of years and they saw your children, they go, "Whoa, man, you've changed so much." Well, that's what they're supposed to do. To you, the growth was fairly imperceptible. To them, it was sudden because they'd seen it from time to time. When the words that are spoken from the Bible sink down into your ears, they seem to have an imperceptible change in your life, but you are growing. And they do make a huge difference in your life. Now, when we're using our ears, we need to use our ears, not just to listen, but to really hear what's being said. Turn with me to Mark. Mark chapter 4. You're liable to hear plenty of that kind of messing up today. Yesterday afternoon when I was sitting here getting some things ready for today, I mean, it just came to the end. There was no more of me left. I'm glad we have no confidence in the flesh, amen. So we're trying to walk in the Spirit, but the lips are a little bit slow to respond today. Mark chapter 4, verse 23, Jesus Christ says, Mark 4:23, "If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." That's a strange statement. You would think if a man has ears that he would use those to hear, but they don't do that. I'm looking at some parents around here that are doing this. If you've raised children, you understand that principle better than anybody. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Do you know that expression concerning the ears appears more than any other expression in the Bible concerning the ears? If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. The Lord said it over and over again, indicating you're hearing my words, but you're not hearing what I'm saying. So when we use our ears to listen, we really need to hear what's being said. Now, most of this I'm going to apply in a spiritual context, but I will say to you this. If you're having a conversation with somebody and you're beginning to have an emotional reaction to something they just said, it would be a good idea for you to clarify what you just heard to make sure you heard correctly. I'll just tell you that. It might help you. You could look and just say, "Now I heard you say this. Is this what you were saying?" Because a lot of times something that's said can be taken one of two ways. And oftentimes with somebody that's close to you, you'll take it the wrong way. I know you've never done that, but I thought I'd just throw that in there. Perhaps somebody's listening to this later. You'd get a blessing out of that comment. Now, Mark chapter 4, verse 23 says that we're supposed to hear it, but Mark chapter 4, verse 24 says that once we've heard what's said, we need to make a proper assessment of what we've heard. Look what he says. "He said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he hath." Now what's going on there? Well, what's going on there is this. When Jesus Christ spoke these words, Pharisees were in the company. And you know what assessment they had of his words? They thought Jesus Christ was simply introducing another doctrine of man because the Pharisees were following a tradition of man. And so when Jesus Christ spoke and did the things that he said, or a doctrine of the devil, they thought he had because he had miracles that went along with what he said. But Jesus Christ said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." So they had an improper assessment of what they were hearing. They said, "This is a competitive doctrine. It's coming from a man or it's coming from the devil, but we need to destroy this man. We need to stop this man." When they did that, when they assessed that the words that Jesus Christ was speaking were not the words of God, when they did that, you know what happened? The things they did know about the Word of God, they lost. Because he says here, for he that hath to him shall be given, and he that hath not from him shall be taken, even that which he hath. And so if you talk, listen, today we're doing this. Yesterday, I'm talking about Saturday, among Jews, and particularly there in Israel, there were people that were reading out of the Old Testament prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Prophecies concerning the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Prophecies concerning the things of God that we know about. They read those things and they cannot grasp what they really mean. They hear them, but they don't understand them. And the reason is they've made an improper assessment of what Jesus said. Now, there are many Jews now that are saved. I say many, I don't know what the number is. Certainly not more than, you know, in other words, a small percentage. But you know what they did? They made a proper assessment. These are the words of God, and I need to listen to the words of God. So you know what he said? To he that hath, to him shall be given. So he gives them more. And when a person comes to the Bible that way and recognizes these words are not man's words, these are God's words, then you know what happens? They get more. Here are the disciples. The four principal ones are Peter and Andrew and James and John. The three of those, Peter, James, and John, are principal ones. What was their occupation? Fishermen. So I would say that the best way to prepare for life in the ministry is learn to fish. No, you know what happened? Those fellows, they were not learned. They were not scholars. They were not doctors of the law like these Pharisees were. But you know what they were? They were men who believed what they were hearing. They took heed to what they were hearing. And he says, be careful what you hear, or take heed what you hear in verse 24. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. All right, they measured. These are the words of God. So the Lord said, then I'm going to give you the words of God. And that's when he said, unto you that hear shall more be given. Now, Peter heard a lot of things the Lord Jesus Christ said while he was here on the earth. And oftentimes, he had a bad or poor or improper or faithless reaction to what was said. The Lord said to him, come, when he wanted to walk on the water. He said, come. That's all he needed to know. And he got out on the waves and he began to look around and realized that they were boisterous, and he got scared, and he began to fall into the water. He said, Lord, save me, and the Lord did, and he said, you know, he commented to Peter, you're of little faith. And then in another place, he began, after Peter confessed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus revealed to him that he was going to have to be crucified, and Peter rebuked him. And so the Lord rebuked Peter, and addressing Peter, he talked to the devil speaking through him and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Though those are not very complimentary things to say to your number one, soon to be number one apostle. I mean, even before the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, you're all going to be offended in me. And he said, yea, though all they be offended, I shall not be offended. He said, no, you won't be offended. You're going to deny me. And he did. But you know something? As many times as Peter messed up on the things that Jesus said to him, he took heed to what he was hearing. And he measured those as the words of God. And so in Acts chapter 2, you suddenly see a Peter very unlike any that you had seen before. And he is preaching out of Joel in a very difficult passage and making proper application to the future coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with that text and preaching it in a salvation context, and 3,000 souls get saved. How'd that happen? He measured those words properly. So I say all that to say this, if you hear the words of God and you measure that these are the words of God, it doesn't make any difference what your level of intelligence is. It's not a matter of IQ. It's a matter of belief. It's a matter of measuring them properly. And then the Lord will give you what you need, and he will always give you more. And that's what he did. Now, by the same token, By the same token, there are many preachers today who represent that their words are the words of God, and they're not the words of God. I mean, they're using a Bible, and they may even refer to a text, but the way that they are speaking and the way they are applying the text, that's not God's way. And you have to take heed what you hear. And you have to measure that that man's not speaking truth out of the words of God in order to keep yourself from being misled. Anybody that wants to mislead you in a spiritual context is going to use the Bible, but he's going to use it improperly. And when he does, take heed. Take heed. So you have to have a proper assessment of what you're hearing when you use your ears. In other words, there has to be a lot of discernment. You've got to listen. You have to listen carefully. And you have to listen with discernment to properly assess those words. Now, turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10 and look at verse 27. Speaking about preachers who represent that their words are God's words, when they're nothing of the kind. Look what the Lord said in John chapter 10, verse 27. In John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus Christ said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." My sheep hear my voice. I know you're Bible readers. And I know that you attend well to the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. When you are sitting here and somebody's preaching, I don't mean just the person who's talking to you now, but Randy or Tony or some visiting missionary or visiting preacher or whomever may be standing here to preach or teach on a day. Do you ever hear the voice of the Lord? Yeah. I'm not talking about another voice besides the tone and words that you hear, not like an ooey ooey over here. What I'm trying to tell you is... No, not that kind. I'm not talking about that type of spooky thing. I'm talking about you know God's talking to you. Boy, I do. If you're reading in that Bible and you're praying and then somebody gets up to speak or you get that Bible open in the morning, man, you just know God's voice is in those words. You're to recognize from Scripture the Lord's voice, to be able to hear His voice when He's preaching. By the same token, if somebody, speaking of discernment, is using these words and that's not the Lord's voice, you are to know it and you are to turn away from it. Because it's going to lead you astray. We know His voice. But we don't follow the voice of somebody else. Look in verse 5 of John chapter 10. A stranger will they not follow. John chapter 10 verse 5. A stranger will they not follow. You know, there is a peculiar discernment, and I tell you the best way, in my estimation, is just be very acquainted with your Bible. Read it plenty. Read it plenty. Years ago when I was a bank teller, first starting in the banking business, there wasn't any online banking, and there were very few ATMs. As a matter of fact, one of my first jobs when I went full-time in banking in a management training program was to do an assessment for our bank to determine whether or not people would ever accept point of sale, which is what you do like when you pay at the pump and all that kind of stuff, or whether they would accept ATMs without dealing with a live teller. That's how long ago it was when I got started in the banking business. No. And so consequently, we had lots and lots and lots and lots of cash that exchanged hands in the business. And so I counted literally thousands and thousands of bills. You know, multiple hundreds of thousands of dollars, but thousands and thousands of bills. And so I'd be there, and you had to count everyone. We didn't have machines, you know. You go there now and they like that and they wrap it up and give you 100 ones for your garage sale. Not that we had to do it all by hand. And we handled that money so much that I'd be getting there counting that money down like that, and I'd go, whoa, that's a counterfeit. And just keep right on like that. So he said, that's a counterfeit. How'd you know that? You just know. And I take it and look at it like that and go, man, you're not kidding. That is a counterfeit. I said, besides the fact that, you know, George Washington isn't on that bill. You count like that. You just feel it. You just knew it right away. Well, that's the same thing with your Bible. If you're in it and in it and in it and read it thoroughly, when you hear somebody using it and it's the voice of a stranger, not the voice of the Lord, you'll pick it up just like that. It's the best way. It's the best way. Get to know the voice of the author and you'll recognize right away the voice of the stranger. What are you to do when you hear that? Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 27. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 27. Proverbs 19, 27. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. That's what you're to do. Just put it aside. Now, we have kids that are here that go to public school. And we have teachers that are involved in public school. What do you do? Whenever they're talking something that's the voice of a stranger, you don't follow it. You cease. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that calls it to err from the words of knowledge. It's one of the reasons why Christian education is so beneficial oftentimes, because you can stop a lot of knowledge that causes the error. You know, a lot of times when kids get off in college, you have to be real careful at that transition time. You got to be real careful with that transition time. They get in there to college and they start learning a whole lot of philosophy that's unlike anything they've ever heard before. They've already been exposed to evolution. They've already been exposed to sex education, but now you get it in like a communistic environment almost. And it means it just turns things loose. And they get involved in drugs and premarital sex and philosophies of the world that are so contrary to the Bible. And you know what happens? They start following the voice of a stranger. And the next thing you know, you're like, wow, would that kid even get saved? The thing to do when you hear the voice of the stranger is to cease. Cease to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. Once you hear the words of knowledge, you hear a voice over here like that, I'm staying right here. I'm not turning. I'm going right here. Now, we're not to be casual in our efforts to find the wisdom of God with our ears. We are to diligently seek the wisdom of God. Look in Proverbs chapter 18. You're in Proverbs 19. Look in Proverbs chapter 18 and look at verse 15. Proverbs 18:15. The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge. Watch it. And the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. The ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. So your ear ought to be trained that it is listening for knowledge. Now, the difficult thing here is that our ears get tuned to a lot of other things. All right? Here, the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. There are a lot. Have you noticed how many sounds there are to distract your ear from knowledge? You go to a restaurant, what do you hear in the background? Music. Or, if you're depending on where you are in the restaurant, it could be televisions that are playing. All right? You go into to visit a person in the hospital. What's playing? Television. All right. You know there's sounds going on all the time. You get in your car, turn on the radio sometimes, and you I don't know what you listen to. But if you're you know, a lot of people listen to some things that are not related to the knowledge of the Word, and as a result, your ear is trained on a lot of that. I'm not going to make a lot of comments about those. You know, we do from time to time. The thing is, when your ear is trained to other things other than knowledge, you know what it does? It takes away your appetite for knowledge. The ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. It takes away your appetite for knowledge. Have you ever noticed in your life how we go through those seasons and sometimes you don't even want to read the Bible, and then there are other times when you want to read it and you want to read it a lot? Have you ever noticed that? What you ought to do during those seasons when you don't want to read the Bible, you ought to consider what's going on in your heart, your mind, and in your ear. And you'll find that what has happened is maybe suddenly you were tired at night. You say, you know what? I don't feel like, let's just watch a movie. And you like that when you said, you know, somebody else told me this other movie was good. And so you watch that movie the next night, another movie. And the next night, you don't want to read the Bible. You ever been there? No, everybody's just been. We've all been there. We've all been there. The ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. Now watch how this goes, because we're going to look at some verses and see how that ear seeks this knowledge. First of all, look in Proverbs chapter 2 at verse 2. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 2. And notice, first of all, as your ear is seeking knowledge, verse 2, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. See that? So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. So the first thing to do then is to get an inclination, or incline your ear to wisdom. So if you have these opportunities, let's say you had all these things that are going, let's just say this. Let's say that you had your favorite kind of music and your favorite kind of movies and your favorite kind of this and your favorite, and then you had the audio Bible over here, and all these had headsets so that they weren't interfering with each other, and you walked in the room and you said, what am I going to listen to do today? This verse says, incline your ears to wisdom, so that you would go over here and say, okay, man, put this in and listen to this. Once you have inclined your ear unto wisdom, look in Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. And look at verse 17. Proverbs 22, look at verse 17. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. So, now that I've inclined mine ear to the words of knowledge, now I get it, and now the Bible says, and I bow down my ear. I bow down my ear and hear the words of the wise. What do you see there when you never think about your ear bowing down, but that's exactly what he said in the words of God. What picture do you get from that? Humility. Humility. Not only am I listening, I'm not listening critically like I'm getting ready to take exception with what you're saying, or, oh yeah, I've heard that, I've heard that. No. There are people that listen like that. No. Yes, I'm listening. What do you have to say? And then we receive it as the instruction that we need. We've bowed down our ears to the words of the wise. And then look in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 12. Something that you've seen in the other two verses, this phrase, apply thine heart. You saw it in the verse that was dealing with inclining thine ear unto wisdom in Proverbs 2:2. You saw it in Proverbs 22:17. Where he says, bow down thine ear, hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. And then in verse 12 of Proverbs 23, he says, apply thine heart unto instruction, and thine ears to the words of knowledge. So then, once we bow down our ears and hear the instructions of the wise, then we apply those in our lives and live according to what we've heard. Incline, bow down, apply. So that now those words become a part of our life, and we are following the instructions of the wisdom that we've just heard. And that's very important. That is a component that is often missed in hearing the words of the Lord. Once you've properly discerned that you're not following the voice of a stranger, but rather the voice of the Lord, you've heard what he said and bow down, you have to apply it. You have to apply your ear to it. You have to do what it says. Turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 22. James chapter 1 and verse 22, the Bible says, but be ye doers. James 1, 22. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful, notice the word, hearer, but a doer of the work, this man should be blessed in his deed. Now, we saw this in a context not related to Christian life or to Christianity at all. I saw it when we were when I used to coach soccer. You could sit kids down and lecture them. Now, you need to kick the ball with your laces and you need to bend your knee a certain way and so forth. Okay, now get out there and do it. And you know what they do? They go back and do just what they were doing before. So the next day you sit them back down and say, now look, I told you yesterday you need to kick the ball this way. You give them the instruction, all that stuff. Now go out there and do it. And they go right back and do it the way they did before. And it never changes. And then the game comes and you're hollering on the sideline, but I told you to kick the ball with your laces. And nothing changes. And the reason is they never went from inclining the ear to bowing down their ear to applying the ear. And the way that you do that is every time you hear something, you begin to apply it until it becomes what you do. So we changed it. We changed the whole process of the drills, and I won't go through all that, but what we were doing, we would say it and make them do it. 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 Pretty soon, you didn't have to say it anymore, and they were doing it. That's why when he says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, he's telling you, you hear it, now go out there and do it. Well, you're going to be inclined to go back and do what you did before you came in the room. So you're going to hear it again, and you're going to apply it again. And you'll start to make some changes. But you know what? The Bible shows us in other places, but our own experience has shown us repetition is a good teacher. You have to keep being told and keep doing until what you're doing, you don't have to be told. And that's why it goes that way. You say, man, you know, one preacher, they hired him. They really liked him. They had him come in, pulpit committee, and then the church heard him and they hired him like that. And he got up there he could really preach on a lot of different subjects, and he got up there and he just kept preaching on the same subject. And after about a year, the folks were really tired of that, and they came to him and they said, man, we've heard you were well-versed and a preacher on a lot of different subjects. You just keep preaching on that same subject. When are you ever going to start preaching on all those other subjects? He said, when you start doing what I've been preaching about, I'll change subjects. Now, haven't you talked to your kids that way? Of course. We're all the same. We were all kids one day, and it's the same thing. We have to put in practice those things that we're learning, applied knowledge, and that way the ear is beneficial because it's affecting the heart and affecting what we do. Now, much of what we learn from the Bible, in addition to doctrine, we learn by reproof. By reproof. You know, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, what is reproof? What is reproof? Reproof is somebody had to point it out to you and make fun of you. No, they didn't have to make fun of you, but sometimes they could scold you. Sometimes they could give you idiot. What did you think you were doing? Or any of those things you don't like to hear. But basically, a reproof stops you in your track and points out that what you're doing, you're not doing correctly, or what you're thinking, or what you're saying, or whatever is not right. Now, there was a time in your life when you rebelled against that. You know, you're 15, 13, 15, 14, 16 years old, somewhere in there. Somebody says, you know, mother said, cut that out. And there was something inside of you that says, I'll cut that out when I'm good and ready. You didn't say it, of course, but that's what was going on in your mind. But you know, you're not 16 anymore. Some of you are long, that's way back there. For some of you, some of us. And you know that thing still comes up in you. You don't like it when somebody points out something you're doing that's not right. And you know something though? The way you learn a lot of things, you learn by reproof. Think back to tests that you've taken. Think back to when you had to, like if you were welding or whatever, somebody had to grade you on your ability to weld. You remember more from the mistake you made than you do from the stuff you did right. It's the way we are. And so if you learn more from the mistake you made than from the thing you did right, it stands to reason that the reproof is going to instruct you. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 15. In which case then, if you are reproved, you're not to bow up your neck and resist it. You're just to say, you know what, you're right. You're absolutely right. And I'll fix that. Notice in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 31, the ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. What I'm about to say doesn't concern any of the company that's here right now. And I mean that. But so often I've had people come to me and seek counsel. And you give it to them from the scripture. And they go right out the door and do what they were going to do anyway. Because they weren't looking for counsel, they were looking for confirmation. And we didn't confirm what they wanted to do. That's not an ear that hears the reproof of life. When you come in and you hear the reproof of life, it says the way you're thinking about doing this isn't going to work. It's not working now. Change the way. If a person's in here that is lost and they hear that and they're wise, you know what they do? They receive Jesus Christ and they change their way. And they've learned from their mistakes. That's what we're supposed to do. Look in Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs chapter 25 and look at verse 12. Proverbs chapter 25 and look at verse 12. As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold. So there's several of you that have that on today, earrings of gold and fine gold. It says, so as that beautifies your appearance, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. All right, so reproof then takes two things. It takes a wise reprover. In other words, that's somebody who can really address the thing that needs to be reproved in a wise way so that you're hearing as the oracles of God and not just a man's opinion. And then that is given on an obedient ear, which means I'm going to process what you just said and do something about it. You get that combination, then you got something good. And may I tell you something? You're never on this side of eternity going to grow old enough that you still don't need a wise reproof. You're going to continue through your life to learn by wise reproof. So get used to having an obedient ear. Young people, there's some that are young in here today, it never changes. You never grow out of somebody else telling you. And listen, when you get to be older, sometimes the wise reproof comes from somebody younger. Okay. If it's a wise reproof, it doesn't make a difference where it came from, as long as it came from the Lord. Amen? All right. Now, in these last days, we've got a problem. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We got a lot of problems in these last days. I'll grant you. But in these last days, we've got a problem, and the problem has to do with what people are doing with their ears. The majority of Christians have turned their ears away from hearing the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 4, the verses we want are 3 and 4, but look at verse 2 to begin. These are instructions from Paul to Timothy. Timothy's a preacher. And Paul says to him in 2 Timothy 4, 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, there it is. Rebuke, there it is. Exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come, well it's here, when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. So they get their own teachers, they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they turn away their ears from the truth. You have to hear the truth and follow it, no matter how much your ears may itch. You have to do it. Because if you turn away from the truth, you're lost. I don't mean lost in terms of salvation. I mean you're lost in direction. The truth is the only thing that's going to guide you properly. But you know what? Not only will turning your ears away from the truth affect your Christian life and your Christian growth, but it's also going to affect something else. Proverbs chapter 28, look at verse 9. Proverbs chapter 28, look at verse 9. It's just shocking, but it affects every aspect of your life to turn your ears away from the truth. It will not only affect your Christian life and your Christian growth to follow this pattern that people are following today, but in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. It'll affect your prayer life. It'll shut you down. I was talking to a friend of mine. He's way up in his 80s and lives in another city, and their church just got a new pastor. And he says, you know, I can say this and that about him, but I want to tell you one thing I really like about the fella. And I said, what's that? He said, that guy gets up in the pulpit and he preaches right out of the Bible and he makes no apology for it. And he said, and I like that. That's a strange testimony these days. A lot of churches have turned. I've talked to a number of people whose churches now use study material from the famous Christian authors. Just heard one of those testimonies last week, but I mean, I've heard it from several. Yeah, we're using Max Lucado's study this, and another one said we're using Tony Evans' study this, and hey, those guys may be doing something for the Lord, may not be. But the thing is, why aren't you using the Bible instead of man's take on the deal? You start in that pattern, you don't know where you're going to end up. And if you find that you like the way they say it better than the way God said it, did you hear what I said? If you like the way they said it better than the way God said it, you know what's going to happen? You're going to lose your appetite. Your ears are going to start to itch, and you're going to lose your appetite for doctrine. Once that happens, you're in trouble. Okay, last thing that I need to say about our ears. Once you've heard the words of the Lord, you've begun to learn them, and you've begun to apply them in your life, you need to tell others what you've heard. Turn to Matthew chapter 10. These were the instructions of Jesus Christ to His disciples when He set them out in the ministry. Matthew chapter 10, verse 27. Matthew chapter 10, verse 27. Matthew chapter 10, verse 27. What I tell you in darkness, that speak you in light. What you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. You pass it along. You get what you learn, and you tell somebody else. The Bible says about people coming to Christ, how shall they hear without a preacher? And we all do that. This is not something you're licensed to do, trained to do. You receive it in the ear. It gets down in the heart. It changes your life. You tell somebody else about it. Like one friend of mine says, I'm a beggar, just telling other beggars where I found bread. That's good. That's real good. I've had people come to me and either here or in other churches, and they've said to me, we came out of a religious background that's very, very unlike what we do in this church here. And my wife or my husband doesn't want to do this. What should I do? And I say this, you come and you hear and you apply and you live faithfully, even if they don't want to come. And in time, they're going to begin to see a change in your life, and they're going to ask you questions from time to time about what did your preacher say today? Or where did you learn that? And then you can repeat what you've heard. That's what was just, repeat what you've heard. And in a way, you'll be ministering to your family. And I'll tell you, if you become faithful at that, in time, your family will come around. And I've watched it over and over again. Families all in church now because one person faithfully came to listen and follow the instruction and repeat from time to time what was heard, and the whole family came around. So it's a very, very, very good principle. So the ears, folks, are very, very important in the temple of the Holy Ghost. Take heed what you hear. Keep things out of here that will cause you to err. Keep things out of here that are going to cause you to lose your appetite from the words of God. Keep these ears open. Let the things sink down deep. Guide your life and change your life. And then tell others what you've heard. And your ear will be used properly in the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Father, we're thankful today for an opportunity to study the words of God. We're asking you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to bless the teaching of your word for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.